Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Mother Far From Home podcast with me, your host, Rachel Norman. If you desperately need a common sense, down-to-earth perspective on how to mother well without losing it, living in constant stress, or needing to escape your life, you have come to the right place.
Hello, mamas, and welcome back to the podcast. I am excited to talk about today's topic because, well, just to get to the punto and the point and the thesis of this podcast, more than presents, and I mean, whatever, I love presents just as much as the next person, more than that being the focus of the holidays, and more than, you know, what the kids are going to get and all that type of stuff, what kids really need is a mom who's in tune with them and who is helping to build their skills, resiliency, their grit. So let's just dive in and talk about this, okay? So now, obviously, based on the, you know, what they need more than presents, okay? Because this is topical and timely. And presents are fine and good, and that's not really the point. But I think where I want to go with this is we often, as parents, are very worried about the physical of our kids, you know? And this is not wrong. This is just how life is. You know, they need clothes. They need shoes. We want to have them occupied. So we're going to find toys. We are focused. And I mean, this is normal. This is earthly. It's how life goes. But we can focus so much on the physical. What are they doing? Are they in the sport? Are they in that? Do they got their bat? Do they got their ball? Do they got their cleats? Whatever. That we're not taking the time, making the time, focusing on the internal skills and character qualities that are going to make a difference in our kids' lives, in their, you know, success. And so since Christmas is a time, you know, whatever, it just is. I don't mean to say it should be like this, but we're in kind of a season of there's a lot of materialism that can come, you know, and even our kids, even if we don't mean to, they can become overly focused on what they're going to get. I think it's a good time to sort of recenter ourselves and our goals in parenting, just in general. You know, the contrast sometimes helps. I notice sometimes when my kids are really, on an extreme, acting an extreme, I think, okay, oh, we have not taught this. You know, if I feel like they're being super greedy, quote unquote, then I'm like, okay, I think we need to get back over here on thinking of others, you know, that type of thing. So we can use the season and how our kids are acting, and it'll reveal what skills they need to learn. Like, what do we need to teach our kids? What are some things our kids don't know or aren't displaying that it would be good for them to display? And this will be different for different kids because, you know, they'll be at different developmental stages. Kids are different in terms of what they perceive and what they don't perceive. Some kids are more canny and more socially aware. Other kids need to be explained some of the social things before they get it. So it really is a child by child basis. We're on a child by child basis, you know? So what is this kid? What would be something good for them to learn? What is it? What is an area they're consistently, quote, failing in? That just means they don't have a skill. It doesn't mean they're failures. It doesn't mean there's no hope for them. It means we just kind of need to focus on something else to teach them, right? What is something that we think they need to know before they leave the house? Now, most of us, when our kids are little, it's like, we don't really think this. It's like, oh, there's tons of time. And it's true, there is, you know, I'm not trying to scare you and being like, and fine, you're going to go to bed and wake up and they're gone. No, but it's a process. It's, you know, when you're taking a road trip and you're going cross country, like we're in Florida. So say, well, this we did last summer. We went to Yellowstone. We nearly crossed the entire country. We ended up at the very north of Montana. So aside from just all the way going over into Washington, we literally went completely cross country. Well, it's like, in some ways, we focus on the destination. Where are we going to go when we get there? What do we want to see? Oh, I wish I'd realized that, like, basically the whole time we were over there wasn't no internet access because I was relying on some of the things that we were going to do to be on my phone. You can't get the internet over there, people. Okay, this was a newbie mistake, and it was completely my fault. But anyway, we're focusing on what's happening over there. We still start the journey over here, and it takes 3-4 days, whatever it is, 5 days. But you've got to know where you're going to get there. And so that's what I'm getting at. What are just some general things we want our kids to know, right? I want my kids to, and I put this a little bit later. Actually, later on, let's just keep going. And I have a few things that I think are really important that are kind of random that I do want my kids to know. And it'll be different for you, depending on where you're at in your family situation. And lastly, I would ask, as we're going into this season, what character traits do we want to see in our kids? You know, and they have the possibility. Language of Listening, Sandy says, the founder of Language of Listening, Sandy Blacker, will say that the kids have every possible, that they have the possibility for all of these strengths, right? And so which type of strength or character trait do we want to see in them? Do we want to see more of them? And then we want to see where they're doing that, and we want to bring that out in them, okay? So these are, it's just a purposeful thing that we do. While our kids will learn this or that throughout life, if we don't have more of a plan, I'm not talking about some super detailed plan with line items, but if we need a general direction to get there, right? And so before I dive into the things that I want my kids to know, and I think you'll probably want your kids to know as well, and I've heard this from a lot of moms, I just want to let you know that after Christmas, before the new year, we're going to open up Life School at Home again. We've got over 500 moms in there, and the deal, I'm pretty sure at this point, it's just going to be a good deal. Get you in there, get ready, get set for the year. And I've just finished making some really fun bonuses for this. So it's going to be for moms, you know, you're like, oh, how am I even going to teach kids life skills? You know, we've created 5 hours, finding 5 hours in your week that you didn't know you had. We've got life skill cards, and these are the cards that you can print out, just beautiful ones. Getting Started with Chores guide for kids who aren't doing anything. And my favorite, a resistance to independence guide. So for those of you whose kids, it's just like, I don't want to do it. Mama needs to do it. Like, no, not interested. No, thanks. This will be great. So you can always join me there at Life School at Home. And I'll let you know more about that after Christmas. But I just want you to be aware it's going to open up. And we have had just such an excellent time. The kids have learned so much. You learn the skills based on their age. So every, you know, it's one topic, one skill per month, or a closely related set of skills. And you sort of toggle between your kid's age. And so it's very doable, very easy. And I hope to see you in there. But so now I want to talk about the skills that I want my kids to know. And so the first one I want my kids to know, and I wouldn't have even verbalized this until I realized that one of my children didn't know it and needed to know it. And that was assertive communication. So this is not aggressive communication where you just wait until you lose it and you snap in your mat or your yell. And it's not this like passive victim type stuff where you don't speak up for yourself. You just never say anything and you let things go, right? It's in the middle. This actually was one of the missions in Life School this past year, was assertive communication. So if you're interested in exactly how to teach your kid that, you can always access all the past life skills. The missions for the month, that they'll be in that library for you. But I realized one of my kids did not know how to do this because this child was getting in a situation where a lot of things were happening that didn't feel okay, that felt over their boundary. It felt like, I don't like this. I don't want this to happen. But then there was a lot of worry of what would happen if they stood up for themselves. And so it was like, I don't know what to say. It felt very aggressive to say anything. So there was this learning period where this child had to become more assertive without being aggressive. And it's sort of like we do a pendulum. You know, if we're going from being kind of passive, then it's like we jump to aggressive in order to find the balance in the middle. And that's okay. That's just kind of what happens. It's like if you grew up and you felt like your emotions were repressed, you probably have kids who have emotions that are out of control. It just goes the exact opposite until you're like, this is too much. No, that's not okay either. And then you come to the middle, right? It's a normal thing. It's called pendulum, you know, parenting. I'm sure there's other names for it. And I talk about that in my book, If Mama Ain't Happy, where you can get, you know, where anywhere books are sold. But this can happen in assertive communication, but it's very important that our kids, because if your child does not know how to stand up for themselves just in a direct, normal way, they're going to get pushed around. They're going to feel like they're a victim of life. And if they're overly aggressive, then they're going to push people away and cause problems on that end. So that is something I think is important for kids to know, especially this day and age, is how to stand up for yourself with dignity without riding over others. So another thing I wrote down here, a skill that I want my kids to know. Now, and I got this advice right before I got married. There was a family friend who was doing my hair, and she was doing a practice, you know, hair appointment, I guess, for the wedding. And I asked her, what advice would you give to someone getting married? And she said, you know, the best advice I can give you is to bounce back. And I thought, huh, tell me more, tell me more. I've got my hands, you know, like evil genius tapping them together, my fingertips. Tell me more, tell me more. And she's like, you know, when you fight and you move past it, bounce back, you know? And this isn't, you know, she wasn't meaning ignore horrible stuff, don't take abuse, adultery, infidelity, addiction. No, none of that, none of that. But just, you know, just we can bounce back. Like, okay, we did, okay, that was a fight. Okay, we disagreed. Keep moving forward, bounce back. And I think this is a great skill for kids to learn because there's like you have something happen that you don't like. You've got to work through these feelings, you got to deal with it, you got to face what happened, right? We're not going to go in denial, we're not going to sweep it under the rug. And then you learn to, you develop the ability to learn from it, shelve it, and move on. So when kids can't bounce back, and it's very difficult to keep going because if you're never able to, it's like the blow up bot babs that we have in Nurture and Play. So Nurture and Play is my program where you basically teach, you're basically I teach you to do play therapy at home, and it's based on our language of listening playtime strategy that was developed by Sandy Blackard, the language of listening, alongside Dr. Gary Landreth, who's like one of the, you know, most famous play therapists. Okay. So he was her mentor and helped along with her. They developed this program to teach moms to use these professional play therapy skills at home. Right. And so I take moms through this. And one of the toys in this bag, in this set of toys you have to use is like a bop bag that you can punch and it bounces down and bounces back up. Right. And so this is the, you want to do this because over time, if you just get knocked, because you were going to get knocked down in life, it's just going to happen. It's just literally, you're going to get knocked down. And so you might have a super life, super, some people get knocked down way worse than others. I don't know how else to say it, but, and I saw this funny meme. It was like me, it was like a dude with his phone and he's like, you know, like he's on hold and he's like me calling God, making sure I'm not on the like extra strong warrior list for next year. You know, because some of us we're on this list. We don't want to be. But anyway, if you get knocked down and then you never bounce back up, you just stay down, right? And so some kids, you know, and it's kind of that whole half the people are introvert, half the people are extrovert, half the people when they get upset they act out, half the people act in. If you don't bounce back, you're in danger of acting in, aka I'm bad, I'm worthless, I can't do anything, I'm inadequate, I'm not good enough, and all this type of stuff. So helping our kids learn to take what happened, separate the action from them, like, okay, yeah, you know, say it's a bad grade. Okay, that's just an easy example. You made a bad grade on that test, there were questions, and you didn't get them all right. This is just what you did. It's just what happened. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you didn't know the material to pass that test. Like, that doesn't mean you're dumb. Let's look at all the other evidence and proof that you've passed a lot of tests, right? Okay, it makes you feel bad. You don't like it. You didn't want to pass the test. Let's keep going forward. What can we do next time? Is there something we need to get a little bit of help from the teacher? Did we not understand that concept? Let's just talk it out, right? All right, next time. Okay, that's it. We're going to bounce back. Whereas if it's just like you internalize it, I'm stupid. Now all of a sudden in a year or two, you got a kid who's very underperforming in school, is gone into trigger freeze or you know, free, most likely freeze as it relates to school response, to where they don't understand the instructions, they can't do it here. They think they got a learning disability, and obviously some kids legitimately do, but many kids end up in this scenario where they're being held back in different things because they're just traumatized because they think they're stupid because they didn't know how to bounce back, right? And so sometimes this can require a bigger approach, which is why I do the nurture and play. But this is a skill we can do in the everyday. We can facilitate our kids' emotions, help them process them, and then we can call them forward to bounce back. So another skill I want my kids to learn, or rather a mindset I want them to have, is that these regular daily, weekly type automatic tasks that we need to do, laundry, dishes, you know, paying the bills, getting the tires rotated, whatever, that they're just things that have to happen. They're not some huge dreaded thing. So, and I heard from a lot of moms, especially a lot of moms who, joined the life school at home. It's like they grew up and they didn't have to do anything. And so now then you just get plopped into adulthood and nobody does anything for you. And it's like feels very burdensome. It feels like a huge deal to cook. You know, it's like a massive deal to get this laundry done. And like, yeah, nobody's saying these things are fun. None of us are like, this is the best part of adult life. No. You know, in fact, actually, one of my friends who got married quite a few years after I did, and I already had a few kids by this point. She's like, what is there? You have any advice for me? You know? And I was like, yes, you will be much more satisfied in life when you realize that like 90% of like marriage and family life is just doing like the same things over and over again every day when nobody thanks you. Okay. I'm a romantic, people. But anyway, she was kind of like, okay, anything else? But in my mind, I was like, this is helpful. Because if you realize up front, so much of life is about these things, don't make them heavy. Just do it. It's like I tell my kids, they're like, oh, I don't want to do this. I'm like, I know, it's just annoying. Let's just get on with it. And then it's over and it's done. Because it's some kids do this more than others. It's like the amount of energy they spend resisting and stalling and complaining, they could have legit done what they were supposed to do and been done. But they spend all this time complaining, right? So it's like the more we get our kids involved, the more we have them help, the more that they are used to doing these basic things, they just know what it feels like. They know what it feels like to just do something, get it done, and move on, right? Then it's actually very difficult to be successful by whatever way you want to phrase this, okay? So clearly not all definitions of success, but it's difficult to be successful in like, you know, let's say an earthly type of result-oriented way, which is not the only thing, but it is important. It's difficult to be successful when you're heavily burdened by just doing these normal things that have to be done. It's like, how are you going to go out and help others or serve others or do some great big thing if you just like can't even just like tidy the living room without it feeling too much, right? So if you're already in that spot, then I think that this is a good time for you to work through a lot of the thoughts or different things that you have going on with that. And I can help you with that. I do that in my Mother You program. But anyway, it's if you have a struggle with that, that's where I would start, because your kids are going to have a struggle with that if you do. If they see your behavior toward all these normal things as just so resistant, they're just going to learn like actually laundry is the worst thing ever. And they're not going to want to do it either. And it's just going to pass on, right? So I don't say this to pressure you. I say this for you to dig into that and find a breakthrough. And breakthrough is such a good buzzword. I kind of hate to say it sometimes, but what I mean by breakthrough is whenever you have some block or resistance or deep thought you've had or a childhood rule. A childhood rule is something that you decide as a child that isn't true as a child, but also immature. And then you make it a rule for life. Like, you know, if somebody doesn't give you what you want, they're mean. This is like an example of a childhood rule. Because as a child, you wanted something, you didn't get it. You decided they're mean. So this is a rule that now subconsciously you live by. So anytime you don't want to give your kid what they want, you think you're going to be mean. So what do you think that means? You're going to give them what they want, even when it's not good for them, because you're living by this childhood rule that you made. Let me tell you, I had some childhood rules. We all have these rules. Okay, they're not all the same. But anyway, this is the type of stuff. Yeah, so a breakthrough is you realizing that, oh, as a child, I wanted that and I didn't get it and I got mad. And so I thought in the moment, that was mean, but it was just something that made me mad. And so not every time that I don't get what I want, does it mean somebody's mean? And then it's like you bust open this idea. And then now no longer when your kids are like, can I have a brownie instead of dinner or whatever? You don't feel mean. You just feel like, no, that's not what's going to happen. And you just feel nothing about it, right? It's just like, duh, clearly that's not going to happen. So that's the example of a breakthrough. Now it means you're not having to play whack-a-mole, which is like, you know, that game that has the holes and these things pop up in it and you have like a big mallet and you hit them as they pop up. Whack-a-mole is like my worst nightmare. It's when you never actually unearth or fix anything. You just spend all your time banging and all the problems come up from different areas. Rachel hates whack-a-mole. So you don't need to do whack-a-mole when you have a breakthrough, because then things stop popping up. Okay. So another skill that I want my kids to learn is problem-solving, solution-finding skills. So some kids are more likely to rise up to a challenge and want to take it. And other kids might, you know, step back in more in terms of wanting to meet that challenge. So I don't want my kids to think that just because something is hard, it means they can't ever do it, right? I want my kids to experience failure, experience not having done it, experience being able to try and get better. I remember one of my children was going to play a sport and he wasn't very good. And he was just like, on and on about how, you know, about how himself, like he should have just known how to do it. And I just said, it's amazing. Like, you think that you are so capable that you should just have already been good immediately when you've never even done it. Like, you just were like, I should. Forget about these people who've played it for years. Like, no, like there's no gain in practice. I should have just known how to do everything the first time. And because this kid, I wouldn't use this with everybody, but all my kids, but because this kid is just, he was like, huh, yeah, I guess. It was like it reframed how he saw it, you know? So it wasn't like, well, the first time I tried it, I wasn't good. I'm horrible. It was like, actually, if I want to be good, I have to practice, you know? And so I want my kids to be faced with a problem and think, how do I problem solve, you know? So this means that I don't solve all their problems for them. This means I don't rescue them from everything. It means I don't see their frustration as suffering. It, you know, I don't do this all the time. I don't do it unnecessarily. I don't do it cruelly. You know, I'm not giving them some totally inappropriately aged challenge. No, but things that are perfectly reasonable at their level, I give it to them and I believe that they can do it. And then they rise up to do it. And so the last skill I want to say that I want my kids to do, and this is like a random one, I'm not even sure if this is intuitive or if this is something you teach or it's a combination, but I want my kids to be able to read a room and to read people. Okay. It's just a little bit random, you know. You know, we all want our kids to be able to do chores, right? So this is like kind of a random one I want them to be able to do is to be able to adapt to their environment in an authentic way, not being different in different environments per se. But, you know, I want them to be well-mannered. I want them to be able to be polite. I want them to have good conversation skills. I want them to be able to talk to people from all walks of life, of all ages, and just be comfortable and be able to do that. I want them to be able to read body language. And part of this probably comes because one of my sons has ADHD, and reading social cues is a challenge for him. And so and also social cues and understanding is a developmental thing. It's like your brain has to develop. Okay, it's almost like there's dominoes, and once some have been knocked over, the others are knocked over. So it's like certain developmental milestones have to be met for you even to have intuition about social skills. But in the meantime, it's like I want to be able to teach them this, right? I want them to be, you know, not be scared or nervous to talk to people. I don't want them to be people pleasers just so they can calm down, right? So I mean, and I think this comes naturally, but I like to hear about it. I like to coach them if they have had issues with in social situations. I like to teach them how life works, you know, like so that they understand a little better. And you might have totally different ones, but these are just ones that are on my mind that I'm wanting for my kids. So I encourage you this week to think about some short, medium, long-term goals of things you want your kids to know. You know, break it down, make it easy without the pressure. If we wait until they're like 16 to try to teach them all this stuff, we're already past a large, not completely, but we're past a large point of influence. They're already wanting to do it without us. And then it's just, and they're busier. So it's harder for them to do a lot of the things that are foundational at an early age because they're just going to be so busy later. So I just encourage you to go ahead and be thinking about this. And be sure to check out after Christmas. So I'll let you know when Live School at Home is open so you can come in and have some accountability to do this with your kids. I'll talk soon, Mama.
As always, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. You can find me on my website, A Mother Far From Home, and on YouTube under the same name. If you like this podcast, I'd love it if you could write a 5-star review, and it'll help all the algorithms to get it in front of other moms who benefit from this encouragement. Until next time, keep it real out there, Mama.